I'm so impressed today, I guess from the music and the scripture that the Lord gave us earlier, I'm so impressed with the glorious work that God has done in my life and I know in yours if you're born again. Just the sheer wonder of being translated out of darkness into His glorious light. The very first song that James brought forth this morning, "You're Chosen Generation." We've been translated out of that darkness, that great darkness, into the marvelous light of God. And as the choir is singing here just now, if you knew what I'd been through, if you knew what my life was like, if you knew what I was like on the inside, then you'd understand why I love Jesus so much. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Yeah. In your own lives. Sometimes we forget what it used to be like. Let's never forget what God has done for us in our salvation experience. Jesus said in Luke's gospel, the 10th chapter, when the disciples came back, the 70 came back from their marvelous expedition throughout Israel, and they said, "Oh, Master, the devils are subject unto us through thy name." And he said, "Don't rejoice that the devils are subject to your name, but let your rejoicing be that your name is written in heaven." Let that be your praise and your rejoicing, and everything else comes secondary to that. And so let's not forget that marvelous experience of regeneration that has occurred on the inside of us by the marvelous working of the Holy Spirit. I'm just welling up in me today is amazement once again for the miracle of the new birth, for the miracle of salvation, for the glorious miracle that takes place in a man's heart, in a woman's heart, in a child's heart, when he or she truly trusts in Jesus Christ as Savior and makes Him Lord of their life. As we approach the Word this morning, I want us to just join ourselves in prayer, believing God to minister to us His life and His truth. Would you bow your heads, please, with me as we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we are thankful for Your Word, and we know that Your Word is Your power. That as Your Word is proclaimed this morning, Father, I confess and profess that it will be the Word of the Almighty God. I declare, Lord, that it'll be the Word that You have for us at this hour, that it'll be the specific exhortation that You know we need. At times, Father, we are approaching situations that we don't know that we're about to engage. There are times that we are about to enter into a time of difficulty or a time of testing, a time of reproach, perhaps, or a time of just plain loneliness. But You know ahead of time what awaits us. We know that Your Spirit provides for us before we enter those times. And so as we receive the message this morning, Father, we receive it for what it is, the Word of the Almighty God. Whether it's of particular importance to us today or not, we allow that Word to go down in our hearts and lodge in our spirits and take root there, so that when we need it, it'll be there. As David said, "Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee." And Father, we desire and resolve not to sin against You through doubt, through unbelief, through fear, through hesitation. But we permit Your Word to be hidden today in our hearts, so it'll be there when we need it, and it'll keep us strong, pleasing to You. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Turn with me, please, in your Bibles to Paul's second letter to Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Now I hope that you were listening as I was praying just now, and I hope that you were praying along with me. Some of you today need this ministry of this particular word. The Holy Spirit wants to exhort us today, and He wants to encourage us today. And some of you who are here right now need this message today, and you're here because God wants to speak this to you today. There are others of you who are here, and the message will not be particularly meaningful in your present day circumstance. But you let this word go down in your hearts and take root there, because the time will come that you will need it. Paul's second letter to Timothy, chapter number 3, beginning to read in verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. In the last days perilous times shall come. How many of you believe that we're living in the last days? The Spirit of God has just quickened to you that these are the last times that we're living in. You just sense that in your heart, a high percentage of you. If it is true that we are living in the last days, then it is also true that either perilous times are already upon us or they are right around the corner. I believe that for Christians, perilous times are already upon us. Some of you have been going in and out of these kinds of circumstances ever since you've been a Christian, and you've wondered, what's this all about? I thought when I gave my life to Jesus Christ, everything would be hunky-dory, everything would be just fine. But the minute I gave my life to Christ, there's been one knock after another. It's been one skirmish after another. It's been one battle after another. I never knew people could be so mean. I never knew that I could be so miserable. I never knew that I could have such a difficult time getting along in this society, getting along with my family, getting along with my fellow employees, getting along with my neighbors, even getting along in my church. I used to go to a church where I would go. Now, I'm quoting, I'm talking about myself now. You perhaps are saying, I used to go to a church where I would go every Sunday morning and nothing too significant happened. We'd go in, we were always out at the end of an hour, and I'd go home, and I never had any trouble with the people in that church. But all of a sudden, I give my life to Christ and I get born again, and I begin to really get involved in the kingdom of God. And the first thing I know, I got strife with this one, and there's discord with this one, and this one doesn't like me, and that one I offended somehow, and what is happening here? What's going on? In the last days, perilous times will come. If the times are perilous for you, beloved, it is nothing more than a fulfillment of the Scripture. If you expect to live any longer, you can anticipate them. Now, you don't have to look forward to them, but you can anticipate that as we get closer to the end, that the times will be more and more perilous. Now, in the next few verses, Paul gives the expression of what will be the symptoms of this perilous time. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. I don't think we've ever seen an age where children generally have been more disobedient to their parents than they are. Praise God for the work of the Holy Ghost in Spirit-filled families and Spirit-filled children. Unthankful. I've noticed this, and some of you men perhaps will witness this, ladies as well, but especially the men perhaps. I remember when I was taught by my father, and of course by the civilization that I grew up in, the society that I grew up in, that it was proper to hold the door for a person. If you saw somebody coming in through a door and you were just coming to hold the door open and let that person come in, or allow a person to go in front of you, it was just common courtesy. Do you realize that if you do that today for 10 people, you'll have maybe one that'll say thank you? Maybe one. 4 or 5 will sneer at you. The other 4 or 5 will just go right on by, and maybe one will say thank you. People will become unthankful. Don't know what it's like to be thankful. Unholy. If we've ever lived in an unholy time, this is it. Without natural affection. Now that passage there, that phrase has to do with the with the onslaught of homosexuality that we're seeing in our society. Without natural affection, men not having natural affection for their wives and wives for their husband, but rather men with men and women with women. There's never been a time, I guess, worldwide like today. Truce breakers. People who do not understand the value or the importance of keeping their word. But you can't depend on what they're saying. Well, I'll be there at 7 o'clock, and they don't show up. Oh, yes, I'll take care of that for you, and they never do it. Breaking their word in such common, small ways that you know that you can't depend upon anything major. False accusers. False accusers accusing falsely. Some of you are right in the middle of that right now. Being falsely accused. Incontinent, fierce. We have a lady in our congregation that was beaten 2 weeks ago on her job. Just beaten and knocked to the ground and pummeled by another woman. People fierce, incontinent. Despisers of those that are good. It's a sign of the times. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Now, we could stay in that passage there all morning, but that's not the primary emphasis this morning. I just wanted you to see some of the signs of these perilous times. And Paul said that the people would have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. That the world would be full of religious people, but denying the power of God. Oh yes, we go to church, but we don't believe in all that stuff like y'all do. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, now these were Egyptian magicians and sorcerers apparently, when Moses was doing the works of God in Pharaoh's palace, they withstood him. So do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. Leave them alone. They'll not proceed forever. Their folly will be evident unto everybody, as was the Egyptians. But thou hast fully known my doctrine. Now watch this in Paul's testimony. He said that when the last days come, it's not going to be easy to be a Christian. That you're going to have to bear some difficulty. There'll be reproach. There will be persecution. There'll be hardness. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. Persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now, if we stop right there, we would be, I guess, quite right in beginning a series of woe, woe, woe. Woe, woe unto me, what am I going to do? The whole world is going to hell in a handbasket. It's in a hurry to go. It's breaking the speed limit. And while it's going, it's destroying me in the process. And God's Word says that I can't do anything about it, that I've got to bear this persecution. I've got to bear this reproach. I've got to bear this mocking, and I've got to bear this agony, because these are perilous times that we're living in. No. Paul also wrote the 14th verse. And this is the exhortation of the Holy Ghost today to Christians. But. Continue thou. Those two words. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. What is our attitude as a Christian? To continue in the things that we know are true. To continue in the things that the Spirit of God has taught us and those things that we have been assured of as truth, knowing that it is the Spirit of God Himself that has done this teaching and this instruction. Some of you perhaps have had this kind of an experience where perhaps you were in a nominal kind of church. And I don't mean to put the church down with that description, I just mean to identify it for purposes of expression. A nominal kind of church. Perhaps filled with people. All of them in the same kind of situation that you are, going through the religious motions of being a church member. And then Jesus Christ came into your heart by faith. You heard about the new birth. You saw somebody else who was born again, and you saw the glow on their face, and you said, "Oh my goodness, what happened to you?" And they told you, and you said, "Can I get that?" And they said, "Yes, you can have it." And you said, "How?" And they said, "Here's how." And you said, "Okay," and did, and you received, and first thing you know, your face is all aglow. And you know what you've learned, and you have assurance of it, and you know who you received it of, and then you go tell your preacher, "I want to tell you the most marvelous thing happened to me. Oh, the most tremendous thing happened to me. I got born again. I was a sinner last week, but now I'm saved. My sins are washed away, and I feel so wonderful." He says, "Oh, that's all right, honey. You just had an emotional experience. You've been all right. You've been a church member here for 20 years. Continue in what you know. I don't care what you've said, Pastor. Yesterday I was lost, but today I'm not. Hallelujah for God's amazing grace. I was lost, but now I'm found, and you may think I was all right, but if I'd have died and you preached my funeral, you'd have preached me going this way, and I know I was going that way. But hallelujah, I'm not going that way anymore. I'm going up." And I tell you, that preacher, if he understood what was happening to you, he'd be going up too, but it's not likely. Do you hear me? Continue in what you've learned. Hold fast what you have been taught, knowing that it's the Holy Spirit that's revealed it to you. And perhaps in that very same church, one day the Holy Spirit broke loose in that church, perhaps got a hold of a little old lady or a little young lady somewhere in that body, and she come up with something marvelous in God, and you saw that. You said, "What has happened to you?" And she said, "Well, let me tell you about it." And she goes off in a torrent of this heavenly, glorious language. You say, "Oh, my goodness, I've got to have that. Can I have that?" She says, "Yes." You say, "How?" She says, "Here's how." You say, "Oh," and you receive it, and boom, here you go. In a praise and God in a marvelous heavenly language. And then you go tell your pastor about that. He gives you a book to read, written by Mr. Criswell or somebody, some of those fellas. That tell you all that's what's wrong with your experience, that it's either the devil, or it's a psychological aberration, or it's an emotional fantasy. Now, what are you going to do when he tells you that? What's your reaction going to, "Well, I guess that's right. You know, I see that. Yeah, okay." And so you back off? No. Continue thou in that which you've learned and that which you're assured of, knowing of whom you have learned it. Stay fast. Remain in the things that you know are true. You come home one night all filled up with the Holy Ghost, and your husband tells you you're nuts. He tells you that you're wacky, and if you don't get straightened up, it's going to be trouble in your marriage. What are you going to do? You go down to your work and you begin to witness. You begin to tell other people in your office or in your school or in your place of business or in your factory, in your mill. You begin to share the love and the word and the glory of God. And you begin to give testimony, speaking the truth in love. And they begin to mock you. They begin to ridicule you. They begin to ostracize you. What are you going to do? You're going to back off your testimony? Well, maybe it'd be all right if I leave the tongues alone. Maybe it'd be all right if I quit talking so much about healing. Maybe if I just back off and just kind of talk about church. Paul said, in the last days there are perilous times coming. Traitors, heady, high-minded, proud, unthankful, boastful, unholy, incontinent, without natural affection, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, lovers of them all, their own selves. Are you as a Christian going to allow that to influence your faith, or will you accept the exhortation of Paul and continue in the things that you have learned? The Bible clearly tells us that some are going to depart right there in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And in verse number 2, Paul tells Timothy, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Yes, even people in the Christian church. Yes, even believers. Yes, even born-again believers. Yes, even spirit-filled, tongues-talking believers will not like what they're hearing, but will gather to themselves teachers who will scratch the itch that is in their ears, and they will be turned away from the truth unto fables. And there's only one way to protect yourself against that, beloved, and that is to continue thou in what you know is true. No matter what the pressures are, no matter what the influences are, you stand fast in what you know is right, knowing who taught it to you, the Holy Spirit. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, Paul says that the Spirit speaketh expressly. The Holy Ghost is speaking directly and definitely and saying that in the latter times, that some, praise God, not all, some shall depart from the faith. Now that means they must have had the faith in the first place. You can't depart from some place you've never been. You must be there before you can leave it. Paul said that in the last days, in these latter times, that there will be some who will leave their faith. They will depart from their faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of devils. There will be those that will like what comes along better, and they'll depart from their faith and walk off following the tune of the Pied Piper, seducing spirits, doctrines of devils. We're told that the Israelites did exactly that. We're told that that's precisely what they did. In the book of Hebrews, the 8th chapter and the 9th verse, and God was talking about the new covenant that he was going to make. He said, I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. See, it's not enough just to be born again, beloved. You got to continue in that. It's not enough just to take Jesus as your Savior. You've got to live it. You've got to abide in it. It's not enough, you see, for you to walk this aisle and say, oh yes, I take Jesus as my Savior and I make Him the Lord of my life, and then you don't continue in that for as long as you live. I'm going to tell you what constitutes a believer. A person who really believes that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation is a person that's going to continue in the faith. Now, there are a lot of people that start out as believers and never make it because they never really believed it. Let me draw you this comparison. How many of you believe that eating food will satisfy the craving that your physical body has for food and will keep you nourished and keep you alive? How many of you believe that eating food is a good thing? That, let me see your hand. All right, how many of you eat regularly every day? Why do you eat regularly every day? Why do you keep eating? Why do you continue to eat? Because you really truly believe that food is necessary to the sustenance of the physical body. If you didn't believe it, you'd stop eating. It costs a lot of money. I mean, it's the most expensive item in your budget, isn't it? Food. Think of how much time it takes to fix it. And when you're all done, you spend as much time cleaning it up. I mean, it's a tremendous big nuisance. And so why do it? You do it because you believe that without it, you're going to die. Well, being a Christian is the same way. You continue in the things of God because you know and you believe that without it, you're going to die. And that's exactly what will happen to you. If you stop eating physical food, you'll die. And if you stop feeding on God, you'll die also. It's the same principle. You can't have yourself one marvelous experience back here 6 months ago, a year ago, 2 years ago, 5 years ago, or even today, and be touched by the power and the Spirit of God and then go dancing through the rest of your life doing any old thing you want to. You must continue in the faith, otherwise you're not going to break the plane of the kingdom of God. It's a tragic, tragic, tragic thing that in the time of peril, Christians back off of their testimony. They back down from what they know is true. They give heed to seducing spirits and the doctrines of devils. They take the easy way and they forsake the salvation that they once had. Or almost as bad, Christians who at one time were turned on for the Lord, had the fire that comes with a Holy Ghost baptism and the intensity of that fire, have backed off of that testimony in order to be accepted by other believers, and have failed to continue in what they knew and continue in what they were assured of because they knew who had taught it to them. Paul said that God's goodness depends upon our continuing. Read Romans, the 11th chapter and the 22nd verse. The goodness of God depends upon our continuing. Let's just read it together. Is that good? This is the discussion about the olive tree and the wild branches and the natural branches and so on. Romans 11 and 22. The natural branches, the Jews, were broken off because they failed to continue in the covenant that God had with them. They let it die. And so those branches were broken off, and wild olive branches were grafted in. That's you and that's me. Did you know that God considers us wild olive branches? Praise the Lord, wild or natural, we're grafted into the tree. And once we get plugged into the tree, it doesn't make any difference whether we're natural or wild, we're getting life from the same root. Behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God. On them which fell, severity. On them which did not continue, severity. But toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise, thou also shalt be cut off. There's a downside as well as an up. God's goodness depends upon our continuing in it. Jesus said in John 8, verse 31, if you continue in my word, then you shall be my disciple. He didn't say if you start out good. He said if you'll continue, if you'll stay in it, then you'll be my disciple. In Colossians, and this verse I want you to see with me, Colossians chapter 1, and beginning to read in the 21st verse. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Jesus Christ will present you holy and unblameable before God if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved. Now that tells me, the word if tells me that it's possible for a believer to be moved. You may think you can't be moved. You can't be moved against your will, but you can be moved if you're not careful and continue. Paul said, perilous times are coming in the last days. Therefore, you continue firm and solid. This is what Paul was doing to the New Testament church. And I guess if he did it to them in Acts chapter 14, I guess if he did it there, it ought not to surprise us that he would do it, that the Holy Spirit would, through him, do it to us today. Exhort us to remain in the things that we know, to stay in the truths that we know. Paul, on his first missionary journey, had established many New Testament churches in the Gentile cities. And on his way back to Jerusalem, he stopped. He went back through some of these same cities. And in verse 21, it's told to us that when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. He confirmed them and exhorted them to continue in the faith. No matter what comes against you, no matter what your difficulty today, no matter what your difficulty tomorrow, don't you faint. Don't you give up on God. Don't you give up on the truth that you know. But continue thou in what thou knowest and is assured of, knowing that it's the Holy Spirit who has taught it to you. Don't back off an inch from what you know. And don't back down an inch in your own life, regardless of the pressures that come against you. I sense that there are some of you here this morning that are under pressure to back off on your Christian testimony. I perceive that there are some of you who are here this morning that it would be very easy for you, in a temporary kind of way in your present life, if you would quit coming to church, quit reading your Bible, quit talking about Jesus, and most of all, quit saying praise the Lord. It would be temporarily easy for you. You'd be able to get along better with the folks that are around you. But I want you to know that if you back off that which you know, it'll begin to cut that tie that goes vertical. Paul said, yea, and all of those who are going to live godly lives in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It's not going to be a piece of cake. It just won't be. You're going to have that. And then he tells Timothy, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The prescription for last days living, the prescription for living in perilous times, is not to back off on what you know, but to continue in what you know, and to continue to grow yourself in the Word of God. It's God's Word that will make you complete, mature, furnished unto every good work. Rather than backing off, we need to charge full speed ahead on the Word of God. Continue in what we know and learn more. We need to consume this Word. We need to feed upon this Word. We need the unction of the Holy Spirit to give us revelation in it, because it's that power, it's that strength, it's that courage that's going to enable us to stand. Jesus said, I'm going to tell you what a man is like who hears my word and does it. He's like the man that built his house on the rock. And when the storms came and the winds blew, the house stood because it was built on the rock. Now I'm going to show you a man who was a hearer of the word and not a doer. He's like the man that built his house on the sand. And when the storms came and the wind blew, and it was a great storm and a great blow, and the wind knocked the house down because it was built upon the sand. The meaning there is so obvious that into every one of your lives, as well as mine, is going to come wind and storms. If you think you'll never have any, you're living in a dream world. Jesus did not say, deliver them from the world. He said, just keep them from the evil that's in it. And the way that we're to do that is to continue in what we know and learn more from the Word. Get this Word in our lives and be doers of it. Build our lives upon that solid rock. When the storm comes, your neighbors may fall all apart, but you'll have a house there that they can come to. Their lives may be totally destroyed, but yours will stand as a light on your street. For when darkness is everywhere, God will put a light there, and it may very well be you. You may be the only source of light in your whole area, but God set you there as a standard. Jesus told us that a man doesn't light a candle and put it under a bushel, but he puts it up on a hill where people can see it. And I'm telling you that we're living in time when people need to be able to see the light. And if they don't see it in you and they don't see it in me, where are they going to see it? Continue in what you know. Continue in what the Spirit of God has taught you. You have assurance in your heart. You know that what the Lord has taught you is true. Stand on it. Does God save today? Yes, He does. Does He save anybody today? You bet He does. Does He fill with the powerful Holy Ghost? Yes, He does. Does God do miracles today? Oh, yes, He does. Does God heal today? Yes, He does. Why did He heal me? I don't know, honey, but He heals today. We have a young girl who has been coming here to the church Wednesday nights, the last several Wednesday nights, and I pray that she and her family be able to give their testimony one time soon. She's 12. She had an enlarged heart, and the doctor gave her anywhere from 2 months to a year to live. Told the parents that the heart's beating about two and a half times normal speed. Told the parents that any morning they could expect her dead. They live in Alpharetta, Georgia. And Terry Berkowitz's brother-in-law works with the little girl's father. And he said to this man, you need to call my sister-in-law. You need to talk to her. Because he knew some light in her. See, she's continuing. She won't back off. And if any one of you have had opportunity to back off, she has. And so they called, and Terry told them about the Jesus that we know. They came to church that Wednesday night, and ministry went forth for the girl, and she was prayed for and hands laid upon her. There was no change in her condition. The following week, they were back again on Wednesday night. We just prayed again, thanked the Lord for the work that He was doing. No change in her condition. Friday night, the mother and father came back out again, just the two of them. And I ministered to them till almost midnight about being born again and how important it was to know Jesus as Savior. The following Sunday night, they came again. The girl was ministered to in the evening service. The father came forward to receive Jesus Christ as his Savior. The next morning, the father asked the girl, let me take your pulse. Well, it was still up high. It was, her normal pulse is about 80, and hers had been 180. What happens? The heart just beats itself to death. And with the medication, they had to pulse down about 120, but it was still rapidly beating. That night at the dinner table, he looked at her again. He said, you know, you look so much better tonight. Let me take your pulse again. He took her pulse, and it was 96. The next morning, they got up, and at breakfast, he looked at her. He said, let me take your pulse again. Took her pulse, was 76. Last Wednesday, they went to the doctor, and Mama, she's praying as they're going to the doctor, and Dad's praying, the little girl is praying, everybody's praying. And the doctor takes the x-rays and they examine the girl, and the girl's heart has shrunk. Their heartbeat is down in the normal range. And he says, I wish I could say that the medication did this, but I can't. And then she called me the next day, and they just praising the Lord. And you can imagine. Now, this is a little girl had a death sentence. And the next day, the mother called me and said, we were driving home. Now, they come over. It takes over an hour to get over here from Alpharetta. But there was some light here. See, there was some light on this hill. There was some light in that life. Because there were some people who would continue in what they knew. Yes, I've prayed for them and watched them die. Yes, I have. But I still pray for them. I still believe God. I don't know all the answers. But I know the one who does. And she called the next day and said, my husband didn't remember this, but he wanted you to know that the doctor said this. Nothing, absolutely nothing under the sun could make that girl's heart get smaller. Something on the other side of the sun, see? They were hoping that maybe the girl would grow into her heart, but God made it smaller for her. Praise God. Praise God. Because there was a light, because there were a people who were willing to continue. And I don't know where you all are this morning. I believe there are some of you here this morning that just need to hear this encouraging word. And I believe that some of the rest of you are going to draw upon this word today before too many weeks are out. I just sense that in my spirit. As I was preparing this message, and I'll tell you exactly what I did, I was just leafing through. I'd pray and ask the Lord, show me what you want to bring Sunday morning. Now, just leafing through the Word, just leafing through the Bible, just reading little passages here, and it's all good, but you just know after a while what the Spirit of God is quickening. And all of a sudden, it hit that verse right there. I've never preached on that before. But those words, and continue thou, just kept coming back to me, and I read through there, and then I went past it. That's not it, you know, I can't really do much with that. And I went on, get some more, let's do some teaching. And it just went on, the thing kept going through my mind, continue thou. What you know to be true, you continue in it. Don't you back off an inch. Now bow your heads and let's pray.